This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 12th, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. Florida's rules governing who can sell hearing aids are antiquated and preempted by federal law, according to Larry Salzman of the Pacific Legal Foundation. We talked about PLF's new case challenging Florida's onerous rules this weekend.
One of Pacific Legal Foundation's newest cases involves Dan Taylor. Dan is our client in Florida. He lives in Southern Florida, and he's been a hearing aid specialist for 30 years. And what that means is he has a license from the government to sell hearing aids. Over the years, he's found that the license is unnecessary, burdensome, increases the cost of hearing aids. And that's because in Florida, they have one of the more restrictive regimes for what it takes to selling a hearing aid. You have to have a multitude of government-mandated tests before you're allowed to sell a consumer a hearing aid. And what he was finding is the newer generation of hearing aids, the ones that work with your smartphones, the ones that can be calibrated using a personal computer, just didn't require these tests. You know, maybe back 20, 30 years ago, you got a hearing aid, you sat in a booth with an audiologist, they did this tone test. For most people, none of that is necessary any longer. And he thought, this is crazy. I'm putting all of my consumers, all of my customers through these tests that are unnecessary. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't think I need this government license. And he was bolstered in that by reading articles about what the federal government has been doing in the area of occupational licensing for hearing aids. Hearing aids are regulated not only by states, but by the FDA. And the FDA over the years has realized that requiring you to see a doctor before you get a hearing aid, requiring you to get a prescription for a hearing aid, mandating some of these tests that are antiquated and outdated, all it does is raise costs. So the federal government has said none of it's necessary.
And it's interesting because, you know, a hearing aid is a product for one individual. They are the most interested party with respect to making sure that it works. They're the only ones who are going to bear the costs if it doesn't work or works too well or damages their hearing further. It doesn't seem the argument for letting people make that choice as easily as possible and letting them deal with whoever they want to deal with seems pretty natural.
Absolutely. And that's what consumers were saying to Dan, you know, Dan Taylor. They would come to a store. He would invite them to sit down for a few minutes, get a kind of cursory test, see if they were eligible for hearing aids, see if they might benefit from one. The customers were coming to him, you know, before they were seeing their doctors, saying, I don't see why I need to see a doctor. I can see this is helping me. Or maybe he would offer them a lower cost product that they could get at other hearing aid stores. So, you know, Dan looked at this situation and said, this is crazy. I'm giving all these tests that are unnecessary just because the law requires it. He read online that the FDA was deregulating and was trying to encourage less burdens for the selling of a hearing aid. And he said, I don't think I need this license under federal law. I'm just going to give it up. He gave up his license about a year and a half ago, kept selling hearing aids. And as you might expect, that drew a cease and desist letter, a threat from the Florida state government that said, if you continue selling hearing aids, we're going to put you in jail and we're going to fine you. In order to get out of that, he paid a fine of $1,000. He stopped the illegal activity under Florida law. He came to Pacific Legal Foundation, and we promptly sued the state of Florida in federal court saying, your hearing aid licensing regime is illegal and unconstitutional.
So is it because the federal government already has a set of regulations, or was the fact that the federal government regulates hearing aids just guidance for taking action at the state level?
The case is built around two things. First, as you say, there is this federal regulation, and the FDA has been very clear that that federal regulation is intended to preempt and invalidate state regulation that is contrary to it. And what they say, what the federal law says, is that states might be able to regulate hearing aids in some way, you know, or the sales of them in some way, you know, against fraud perhaps, but they can't regulate in ways that are more burdensome or in addition to the federal regulation, which is very light. It basically says you need to check somebody's ear to make sure they don't have an obvious health problem. And if they do, you should recommend they see a doctor before you sell them a hearing aid. But otherwise, you're free to sell them a hearing aid. So the case is built around this idea that the state regulation that puts all these burdens, unnecessary tests on hearing aid sellers, requires a license before you can sell a hearing aid. It's all preempted by federal law, and it has to be struck down. The second theory is a bigger constitutional theory, which is that you have a due process right under the federal Constitution to earn a living free of unnecessary government interference. And here, we have a state that's erected this burdensome process for getting a license. You have to have months of apprenticeship. You have to pay thousands of dollars. You have to have continuing education. You have to conduct tests that the current science and the current state of technology has rendered antiquated or inadequate or unnecessary. You have to do all these things just to be able to sell a hearing aid to a consumer who wants to buy one. Those burdens deprive you of a right to earn an honest living free of needless government interference. That's unconstitutional under the 14th Amendment, and that's the second part of our challenge.
Other than the regulatory imposition that it is, it's got to raise costs for individuals who want hearing aids, and it's got to limit the scope of the market of people who would like to sell them.
It raises costs, and in 2015, I think again in 2016, the Federal Trade Commission, separately from the FDA and the United States Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, both studied hearing aids and said, requiring people to go to a doctor to get a prescription before getting a hearing aid, requiring people to go through audiological testing before getting a hearing aid, it may be nice in some circumstances, but it's not necessary because there's no harms that come to people from the modern type of hearing aid technology that people are using and buying and selling. It shouldn't be required under the law, and so we should strip these requirements out of the law in order to make hearing aids both lower cost and more accessible to more people. That's a very good federal policy. I mean, it's a rare circumstance in which the federal government, at least, is trying to deregulate and reduce costs and make hearing aids more accessible.
So what are the other implications here? I mean, if the FDA regulation, there are other federal agencies that regulate, obviously. And what are the implications for invalidating state laws that where the regulation is more burdensome at the state level?
Well, there are – I mean, in any situation in which the federal government is trying to do the right thing, trying to open markets up, trying to reduce barriers to competition, trying to eliminate laws that are more about protecting incumbents in the industry, you know, more about protecting existing providers or sellers of hearing aids or other products and services than protecting public health and safety – I mean, it's great if the federal government recognizes that that's a problem and wants to enact federal regulation that eliminates those burdens or protectionist regulations. So, you know, perhaps winning on what are called preemption grounds, the idea that federal law can preempt state law in certain areas, hopefully they could have a salutary effect or a good effect in other areas. The constitutional issue, I think, is more exciting, which is it's part of this larger conversation that we see in the culture about the validity and purposes, the efficacy of occupational licensing. And our theory is that even if there was a justification, say, in the 1970s when these hearing aid seller regulations came into place, you know, the devices back then were not the state of the art that they are today. They were harder to use. They were harder to calibrate. They required maintenance. You know, maybe there was some justification then for requiring licensing of sellers of that product that was very expensive and needed a lot of technical skills. In an era in which you know, you can calibrate them with a smartphone and firmware built right into the device that sticks in your ear, the circumstances have changed. And our theory is that when circumstances, when reality changes in the world out there because of technology, regulations, the government has an obligation to adapt to that, and regulations should change. And that can have enormous implications. If we win on that theory, there are untold number of occupational licensing restrictions or regulations of products and services that ought to be reconsidered because the facts that gave rise to the need for those regulations in the past no longer exist today. When circumstances change, the government has an obligation constitutionally to look at reality and respond to those changes. And that's you know, a cutting-edge constitutional theory that we're bringing to this case.
Where does the case stand right now?
In April, we filed a complaint in federal court in Orlando against the Florida Board of Hearing Aid Specialists. And in early July, we're filing a preliminary injunction motion. So what we're asking the court to do is, instead of waiting for a year or 2 years for this case to finally be decided, we want you to look at this preemption issue right now and say that the government basically has no case and you need to let Dan Taylor go back to work selling hearing aids as he wants to do to consumers who want to buy them. We'd like to get some resolution of the case very early. So we're filing a preliminary injunction motion, and that's probably going to be argued, you know, sometime in maybe August or early September of this year.
Larry Salzman is a senior attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation. We spoke this weekend at FeeCon in Atlanta. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.